Yeah. I did have a good day at the Dodger game yesterday, Slee. It was a beautiful afternoon at Dodger Stadium, a relatively small crowd by Dodger standards,
yep.
In and out, nice and easy. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being honest, my level of food and beer consumption was perfect. It's perfect. A dog, a peanuts, a couple of beers. You're not going to do much better.
2 hours down, 1 hour and 12 minutes to go.
Right? We're getting there. But it was a good day. In the middle of the Dodger game, you sent out a picture. You were on the top of the world somewhere looking out over
there.
The valley. Yeah, where were you?
Altadena. That's basically that same trail. I did go.
Did you take the trail this time?
Most of it was a trail.
Okay.
Most of it was a trail. You kind of find yourself. You know, it's funny. I thought about that. I took my phone because I wanted to listen to an audiobook that I'm listening to, right? So I took it for that, and probably
Locked On Rams.
Yes, the Locked On Rams.
Our first hour of the show, too.
15, 20 minutes in,
uh-huh.
I'm like, why did I take my phone? But I already had it. I took my.
What do you mean? Why do I have my phone? Was it bothering you?
It just. The
just couldn't just put it in your pocket and keep it moving?
No. I'm talking about I didn't want to listen to what I was
listening
to.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Right? So, like, just where you were and what you were doing. There's some. If you're going to go on a hike, do I really need to hear?
Took you out of nature.
Do I need to listen? Yeah, let me just kind of take it all in or whatever. But that meant I had my phone with me, so then I was able to take a couple photos. Well, you sent your shot of the
yeah.
And you always say that you share things and I don't typically
That's true.
Share things.
So, well,
is
that accurate?
That is very accurate.
Yeah.
Travis is the most active participant in our group chat.
But are you that
me.
Active? Yeah.
I think I'm more active. Emily is the most
You're
active.
You're more active than me, no
I'm
question
second,
about it.
And you and Taylor are tied for 28th.
Taylor reacts.
Yeah.
I think I got sleepy.
You're really not much of a, hey, here's what I'm doing. Here's a picture of the thing. Like, I was out to dinner the other night. I go to dinner with my wife every Friday night at this place.
Oh, really?
There's live music. And the guy that plays music.
You guys just started doing that?
Yeah,
or
very recent.
Okay.
Guys plays live music. And I know Emily is a Taylor Swift fan. The guy was playing a Taylor Swift song. So I took a 10-second video and I sent it to Emily. I thought she might get a kick. You know, just kind of thinking of my people every once in a while. It's kind of how I roll, Slee.
Even though he doesn't think about us outside the show, he occasionally thinks
there,
about
there
us.
Will be something that sparks a thought. I'm like, that's a Taylor Swift song. Emily likes Taylor Swift. I'll send her a little snippet. See how it works?
I was driving, though. I passed by a sign that said La Paz. I would have, if I was not driving, I would have sent it to you. I was driving. I need to be safe, guys.
Yeah, you should have.
Hmm. I mean, you like La Paz. You got the hat on today. Tomorrow will be the other one. You've got a couple in your
the
rotation.
The Yosemite one?
Zion.
Yosemite. Yeah, Zion.
Zion.
That's a recent one.
That's
that
what
one
it
was just
but,
purchased.
By the way, Rookie looked majestic. It was
he
a
did.
Great picture.
That, okay, be honest. You ready? And was that just a, hey, I'm going to take a quick one and you happen to get a good one? Or did you take a bunch and then curate your list?
Took a bunch. He was tired as hell, too. I'm like, all right,
so
we should go back down.
Stopped.
Yeah, I'm like, we should call it a day on
How long were you
one.
On the road?
You mean how long was I hiking?
Yeah.
About an hour.
One way or round trip?
No, round trip.
Okay. That's still pretty good.
Here's the thing. They got some of these hikes, and I kind of want to do one of them. I was telling you this. When people say they go on, they're gone for 6 hours, and they have...
It's a long walk.
Once you start like actually bringing a meal with you and water, I'm like, okay, well, this is a completely different... The way I perceive going on a hike or something along those lines, but I actually kind of want to do that. I kind of want to do one of those.
I
want to do like a three-hour
Is one. This semantics? I think it's semantics. What you went on was a nice walk, right? What you're describing is a hike.
Here's the difference.
That's the difference, right?
I've gone on like several like 8 hour long hikes.
That's a hike.
And like 10 plus miles, things like that.
This is what makes it a hike. It was the terrain is all hike. Right? Like it's not when you say
elevation.
A brisk stroll.
You know, you're not walking around the block. I understand that.
So that's what makes it a hike, and you're basically like this. You're basically just going up the entire time, right? So, but you're right. If you look duration-wise, when somebody who really goes on a hike, that's a hike.
Did you bring a shovel or not? Right? Because if you got a shovel, then you know you're going to be out there for a while. You may need to dig a hole for one reason or another. So just saying, did you bring a shovel or not? If it's just I brought my phone and the dog, that's a walk through the mountains.
Rook, you're right. That's probably a better way to describe it. Rook was like, yeah, we're good, bro. Let's head back down.
So we got some good suggestions earlier. I was telling you guys at the game yesterday, I had a gentleman next to me, very nice guy.
Guys who exchanged numbers.
Who was a Dodger fan, but was a Dodger fan that got a lot of things wrong, and he started misidentifying things. And I was telling you guys the story. Like, I never know how to act in these situations. I never know whether or not to correct the person. Like, for instance, he said to me, "Oh, you know who my favorite player was as a kid? I loved Bert Hooten." I'm thinking, okay, that's an odd choice because Bert Hooten was kind of just one of the guys. It wasn't Fernando. It wasn't even Bobby Welsh or one of these guys. It's like Bert Hooten was like the number three starter for a few years. It's an odd guy, but whatever. You know, we all have our favorite players for other reasons. He goes, "Yeah, he's such a great knuckleball pitcher." And the alarms start going off in my head. I'm like, he's thinking of Charlie Huff. Bert Hooten threw a knuckle curve, but he wasn't a knuckleball pitcher. Charlie Huff was on the same staff. He was a knuckle. So do I say something? I opted to say something. And I said, "I think you're thinking of Charlie Huff." He was, yeah, Charlie Huff. That's who I'm thinking of. That's the guy that I liked. And now I'm the resident Dodger encyclopedia on this row. Starts peppering me with questions all along the way.
Which, by the way, was sitting in the fourth seat.
Yeah,
that
he's
was your
in
friend's
our
ticket.
Seat. Yeah. So that was odd to begin with. But your whole thing was you just let that go.
Yeah, if it's a conversation I know I'm not going to – we've talked about this, and we do this all the time. Whatever – if you're – whatever industry you're in, if somebody starts talking about work, if somebody that's, you know, into stocks and that's what they spend their entire day doing, if somebody – if you're having, like, a good conversation with somebody about that subject, you actually get into it.
Sure.
We'd be the same way with sports.
Sure.
If it's an awful conversation, you know it's not going to go anywhere. Like you said, I gave the example earlier. If the guy is coming on and saying, you know, Anthony Peeler could be the best center that I've ever seen in my life. You know, how am I going to have a conversation after that?
But do you say Anthony Peeler wasn't a center?
No. I say, interesting, man. I'm going to go get another beer or some peanuts, and I'm actually going to go sit on the opposite side of the – you said the girl was sitting – his girlfriend was sitting on the aisle.
On the aisle,
I'm
my
on
buddy,
the other.
Me,
I'm on the other
him.
Aisle. Or I'm in front a seat or I'm behind a seat.
I couldn't do it. I had to correct him because I don't like to have wrongness in the universe. I don't want it out there.
You love accuracy.
I do. Accuracy is important to me. And if I know the right answer, I feel like I need to share it with the group. Not in a
It's a quick answer. It's a quick, like, I think who you're talking about was this.
It was Charlie Huff.
But I don't give any more.
And that's what I did. I'm like, nah, you're thinking of Charlie. But that was the green light to, you know, Greg Brock was he was really good at third. So, Greg Brock played first base. Now, hey, what position did Mickey Hatcher play? Kenny Landreau, was he number 44 or was he number 24? It's like, now I have to be that guy. And now I was soliciting suggestions on how to get out of this. 877-710-3776. 877-710-3776. ESPN. The best suggestion we got, and I want more of them, was tell them that you just got back from the nearby reptile store downtown. Yep. That was the best answer we've gotten so far.
Reptile store, and then the concern was if that guy is into reptiles, and then all of a sudden now you're starting to have another conversation with
now,
him on that.
Now I'm in his area of expertise. You into that too? Are you into reptiles? You got to be any bearded dragons? You ever seen a Komodo dragon shed its
skin? I take my mouse everywhere. Sticks a mouse out of his pocket.
Oh, man. All right. So Jeremy Fowler from ESPN was talking yesterday and was talking about Aaron Donald. And go back to right before the Super Bowl. Remember Rodney Harrison had that report that said, hey, listen, I was talking to AD, and if they win this, he may call it a career and walk away from this. And we all kind of, yeah, whatever. Well, they did end up winning it. And Aaron Donald talked about it. It's a long piece in Sports Illustrated about how, yeah, it did cross his mind. So Fowler said he has a number that he will play for. If it's not met, retirement can still go down. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that he is going to retire. It's not an ultimatum. It doesn't sound like that. I just, you know, look, when we do what we do, we're trying to find ways to create conversations and all this stuff. I can't come up with a scenario where the Rams don't give Aaron Donald what he wants or very close to it, or where Aaron Donald gets an offer that's very close to what he's asking for that he decides he's walking away from. I just can't see where the disconnect is in this.
Yeah, I was just
doesn't gonna, exist,
I was
right?
Say, what's the benefit? Let's use it from a Rams perspective. Are you going to disrespect Aaron Donald? Like, is there a scenario out there where you're going to lowball him? Is there a scenario out there where you say, you know what, let's see if we can save a little money on this Aaron Donald piece? I don't see a scenario out there where they're saying to themselves, hey, this would be a really good idea. Let's take this franchise player who literally has his fingerprints on the Super Bowl that we just got, and let's disrespect him. So from the Rams' perspective, you can't really see that. I guess the only question, the only scenario that would play out as far as Aaron Donald goes, if he's incredibly unreasonable, and I don't know what that is, if he really kind of doesn't want to play anymore, he does want to retire. But, I mean, even that,
but
if that was the case, he would have already done it.
Right, right. That's
like, why
the
would
thing.
You drag it on? Why would the report come out?
I was thinking about this. I'm really – Stan Kroenke, Kevin Demoff, Les Snead, Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. The guys that are making these decisions about the future of this team, economics, personnel, playing, et cetera. This is kind of the group of guys. I'm sure there are other people involved that I haven't named. Have they done anything since they've come to L.A. that makes you think that they're stupid? No, right? Quite the opposite. The vast majority of the things that they've done have hit the bullseye. The handful of mistakes that they have made that everybody makes, they clean them up pretty quickly.
Yep.
Right? And the one thing that they've been incredibly good with, Al, they're generous. Jared Goff needs a new deal? New deal. Todd Gurley needs a new deal? New deal. Aaron Donald needs a new deal? New deal. Matthew Stafford needs a new deal? New deal. They don't get in pissing matches over money.
Has a number he will play for.
Yeah. And so they're not going to go and all of a sudden say, okay, here's the line in the sand that we're not going to give. They're not going to do that. And Aaron Donald wants to keep playing. There's no there.
Why does this come out then?
I don't know. That's what I'm getting at. I'm sure somebody somewhere is negotiating, right?
Which I agree, but the has a number he will play for would tell you that, like, okay, they're not at that number. Let me put this out there. He's still thinking he could potentially retire. I don't even think it's necessary. I feel like doesn't it feel like that's an organization you feel like will make the right decision based upon this isn't just some random player. They're not throwing money out to people that they don't think are going to help benefit the franchise. Doesn't this seem like a natural? But I don't know why the story would come out.
They're
unless
not
he's not
letting
happy with
the greatest defensive player of his era, arguably the greatest defensive player ever, fresh off of a Super Bowl championship where he wasn't the MVP, but he easily could have been, and saying, "Nah, go ahead and retire. Come
Agreed.
On, man. It's not happening." Not happening. Just give him what he wants and meet in the middle and keep it moving.
For a little bit of show and then we'll...
Maybe a little bit of tell me how pretty I am moment. And we all like to be told that we're pretty occasionally, right? It could be as simple as that. All right, make sure that you download the ESPN LA app. Search for it in your app store. You can go to your Google Play store. We're still trying to figure out the exact...
You look pretty as hell, by the way.
Thank you, Al.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that very, very much.
You're super pretty today.
I got a little bounce super in my step today. Already. Got it there already. If you download the app and we get to a special number... Emily's going to take down more nuggets. We haven't figured out exactly what the numbers are.
We don't know the details, but just download the app and then
figuring it
have
out.
Her eat some chicken
nuggets. We're workshopping a nugget app situation that we're going through. I had a feeling that's what it might be. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want some nuggets every once in a while? It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. You knew this call was going to come in at some point, Slee. I'm looking at it and... We have ideas from the people. We're trying to get to, what was the number, Emily, of downloads?
20,000.
6 million would 6. Be great.
4 million.
We would exceed our goal at 6 million.
Yes.
We want to get a certain number of downloads, and we're trying to think of ways to incentivize people to download the new ESPN LA app. Go to your App Store, go to your Google Play Store, and I can tell you all the wonderful things about it. There are a million things that are great. It
Easy,
works.
Easy, clean.
It works. Just put it on your phone. You can listen to all the shows, the podcasts, everything else. Paolo in Los Angeles has an idea. Paolo, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Hey, what's up? I have an idea. If you guys hit that number, then you guys should do a ticket giveaway to watch a game with you guys.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I love that
idea. Like a live stream or something that, like, go to the Dodger game together.
I love that. Look, I mean,
by the way, I know that's for us. I'm like, yeah, that's the greatest. So You guys download it. We get closer to the app number. The listeners get an app that, like you said, works, functions great, all that. And then we just get to go to a game and kick back, have a beer and some. Yeah, I think we're good on that.
This could fall into the category of things that Travis has said that actually never happened. I'm fully aware. But we don't even have to get the downloads to do that. We should do that anyway. We should come up with a little, just a day, go to a Dodger game, an Angel game, whatever it is, you know, whatever works for everybody else, LAFC, whatever it is, just kind of a little, get the all-stars together, whoever else wants to come. That might not be a bad way to do it. And if we...
What event?
Media folder.
Baseball games play
NFC
the
championship
best.
Game.
Yeah, those are a little hard. Like, football games are a little tougher putt, but baseball games are great.
Let's do a baseball, you want to do weekday or weekend? Weekday is better. We're already here.
Weekday is, well, it depends on what we want to do.
Or
do we
a just Saturday.
Saturday, have
1
a few
PM,
beers,
hang 1 out a PM, first pitch.
Yeah. This is a good idea. Paolo, well done. We'll kick that around a little bit.
We just both go to a med. Hey, we got a great idea. We were thinking about, we were brainstorming. Travis and I were brainstorming.
Somebody had an idea.
This is what we came up with.
They get to go on a hike with you and Rookie.
Let's
and go play a round of golf with me. You take one, I'll take one. You take one, I'll take one.
We'll go to Taylor's show at the Lighthouse on Wednesday. Is that going to be a good one, too?
There you go.
Some college football. Go tailgate.
Addicted.
We're in.
By the way, that's one of those things.
What's that?
The tailgating. Yeah. I'm not a huge UCLA fan, but tailgating at the Rose Bowl for a UCLA game, top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Just fun. Just it's beautiful. It's a nice setting. Hang out, have a few beers, throw a few things on the grill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – yeah.
And you get to watch your college football.
Yeah.
Who would you like to see? We want to do – SC is probably a little tough, but we'll come up with something. San Diego State, maybe they play them this year.
State comes up to – I don't know if
have
they
you seen
do.
Their new? Have you seen their new yard down San Diego State?
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Nah, I mean –
pretty sweet.
Just to have Qualcomm there. So this thing is like one third of the
size.
Well,
yeah. San Diego State's not going to get 80,000 people to come to their games.
I know they're not, but it's like you had something that was massive. Now you're looking at it. I'm like, oh, that looks like a.
Really? You don't like it?
Looks like a high school park.
Oh, my gosh. I'm blown away.
I like it for San Diego State.
It's perfect for San Diego State.
But there was part of you thinks is such an iconic for San Diego, right? Iconic for San Diego. That was a footprint that you drove by on the 8 freeway, and you were like, damn, that's our stadium. Using that as an example, now it's like this little mini stadium.
Yeah, but it was a dump.
It's perfect for them. Yeah. It's perfect for San Diego State.
I like it, and I'm not even.
Oh, that's right, because when you went down to San Diego.
I've been down there quite a bit over the last few months. I can't wait to see a game down there. I'm really looking forward to it because it's the perfect size. Right, San Diego State. If you
for
get 20,000 people in Qualcomm, it looks like it's ridiculous. But if you put 20,000 people,
it was awful
in
when they
place,
played at Qualcomm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. All right, we may have been a series too soon on Luka. Right, as excited as we were that he took out the Suns and that moment where, hey, here comes the next big thing.
Yeah.
The Warriors clearly have some different plans. And I know it's just one game and some things can happen. But
no, but there's something there. I agree.
The Warriors looked exceedingly capable. It just remarkably comfortable in that moment where the Suns, even when they took a 2-0 lead, you're like, okay, it's Chris Paul over there. Let's wait and see.
Remember yesterday we were talking about this. Luka took the Clippers, Kawhi, and PG, took them to Game 7 twice. That's a damn good accomplishment. Why is Luka and the Mavs supposed to, they're not supposed to be hanging with what the Clippers had, but they lost those two games. Or they lost those Game 7s. Then this year happens. You take care of the Utah Jazz. Now you got the Phoenix Suns, the team on paper, the best record in the NBA, 8 games plus on everybody else. Takes them to Game 7. And in Game 7, instead of losing, they win by, Luka doesn't even play in the fourth quarter, drops 35, does what he does.
Didn't even 30 at the half.
But who's really the class of the Western Conference over the last 10 years?
Oh, Warriors.
It's the Golden State Warriors.
Sure.
So now it's like, okay, this is the next level. This is real deal. Like, I know people want to say, well, what are you talking about, the class? The Lakers won one a couple years ago. No. The class, as in over a long period of time or whatever the case is. This is the ultimate challenge where we get to see Luka. Luka was bad yesterday. His shot selection was bad. He had 7 turnovers. Didn't really have, I think he had 3 or 4 assists. Couldn't really get anybody else going. That is the ultimate challenge for a player that you and I think can kind of take over the NBA.
That's a good point.
Giannis is, he's done it now. Now you can make the case, but Giannis was going up against KD last year. They end up winning the NBA championship. They're down 2-0 to the Suns. They came back. Giannis has kind of already put himself on whatever level that you want to call it. the Luka piece of it, we're kind of waiting for. We're excited about this moment. Anytime you got a primetime player, you're excited to see what he does in these situations. It's only one loss, but you tell me or explain to me how they're going to go beat the Golden State Warriors four times.
There is an answer, but it is a really narrow one. The answer is he needs to do what he did in Game 7 four times.
And everybody else has to be there four times.
You got
to
have Dinwiddie have a big 100%. Night or Brunson have a big night.
And no question about it.
The reason that was like, whoa, is that it just doesn't happen all that often. That he could go get 40. He could have one of those 40, 15, and 10 nights.
Yep.
If the other guys aren't there for it, it doesn't really make much of a difference. Because the Warriors, I know I say this a lot. I'm a huge believer in fear. Are you scared? Are you comfortable in these moments? Right? And I think you can grow into them. And I think some people are comfortable right from the jump. And I think some people never get comfortable in those moments. Chris Paul clearly, and not that every big game he's had, he's collapsed. That's not true. But that thing that we all talk about, that's in the back of his head. Here we go. Oh, that's not going to happen again, is it? And that leads to it. The Warriors have none of that. They've been through this. We've won these. We've lost these. We've kicked people's butts. We've gotten our butt. There's no Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green when they walk on that court. There's zero fear factor. None. They know they
and
can
nothing
lose.
That they haven't seen.
Right. We beat LeBron James. I get it. Luka's a really scary guy. We got answers for this. We just need to go and execute our game plan, and we got a shot to do this. There is zero fear in those guys, and it makes all the difference in the world.
But here's the other thing about the Warriors. It's as great as their run has been, it's been for 2 years you were injured. You couldn't compete in this. You're not a part of the mix. So for 2 years you're saying to yourself, since KD left and KD gets injured and Klay gets injured, Trav, there's this empty kind of 2 years for them where I'm sure in the back of their minds they keep saying, can we get another shot at this? Will we get another crack at this? Is it over? Is our run over? Is it not? So on top of them already being there, the everything that kind of comes with it, the experience, there's a hunger there too.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that brings me to next thing.
That's unique in their run.
Couldn't agree more. I say this a lot about LeBron. I think we're going to have a much different appreciation for LeBron James when he finally is out of the NBA. That whenever that is, you know, I would have thought we would have been there by now anyway.
It happened with me and Kobe.
Yeah.
I definitely appreciated him. When it was coming to an end and it was done as far as his career, it was like, what the hell? I took that for granted.
Sure. Think about the year 2030, and LeBron's been out of the league for, you know, two or three, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. And you look back, wait, he went to the finals how many times in a row? He won how many of those?
Yep.
He scored how many points in his career? And you're going to appreciate it a lot more as opposed to being in the moment. Well, yeah, but he lost to the Dallas Mavericks. You know, that will fade away. It'll become less of that. I wonder if it's not the same with the Warriors, that because we're in the middle of it, because they did blow a 3-1 lead, because Kevin Durant kind of did jump in at it at a weird point. If they can get another one here or get close, I don't know if we appreciate the dynasty and the run that they've put together over the last decade the way that we should. Because they have, what are they, three-time champions?
Three-time champions.
Three-time champions. The five-time finalist. In the span of a decade, they've been in the finals five times. They've won three of them. They got a chance to do it again this year. And I don't know, when you think of dynasties, you think of the Bulls, the Lakers, the Celtics. You know, this is how you
Spurs.
Think of these things. The Spurs, they're more like the Spurs because it's kind of spread out over a period of time. And somebody else popped in and get it. Maybe it's more like that. But I don't even feel like we're giving them the credit of the Spurs when they absolutely should.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I never really thought of it that way. I guess the best way I could describe it is KD did add this wrinkle to the team where it was, well, they're supposed to do it now.
Right.
Okay, well.
But Michael Jordan was supposed to do it. We gave him the credit for that. Magic and Larry Bird were supposed to do it. We gave them the credit for it.
But you agree that KD, once
it changed
KD,
it.
Once KD came, it was like, well, why are we even playing basketball? Right? Like Kevin Durant added this element of, but I think this is what would go to what you just said. What would go to what you just said is, they go a couple of years not getting there. KD leaves, and then that crew is still able to go win it again. That Draymond, Clay, Steph, and Steve Kerr, and Andre Iguodala's still there.
That's the dynasty. Those four guys.
Is still able to go do it. And by the way, that's not different. I mean, go look at some of the Laker championships with Shaq and Kobe. It's not the same role players. It's Shaq, Kobe, D. Fish, Rick Fox, Robert Horry, but then there's other pieces.
Who was the Laker dynasty in the 80s? Go ahead. Who was it?
It was Magic, James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go. It was those three.
Pat Riley.
The Celtics, it was Bird, McHale, and Parrish.
Yep.
Right? Those were the guys that were in it. The Bulls, it was Phil Jackson, Scottie Pippen, and Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And this one is Steve Kerr, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry,
Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm. And all those other pieces will move in and out, but they're on that level. It's fun to watch. Even as a Laker fan, I don't mind rooting for those guys. They're a likable guy along the way. All right. You asked me a question about Jason Kidd and the Lakers and him getting the head coaching job there. That was pretty funny. I want to get into that next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You said something funny to me. We were talking during the before we came on the air today. Like, can people stop asking me about when Jason Kidd should get the Laker job?
Why did you guys hire him?
Does that come up a lot? Because I get questions about a lot of things. I don't get that one. Take me through.
Not a lot, but it comes up often enough where people ask. Look, you see what the success Jason Kidd is having right now? He's in the Western Conference Finals, and naturally people are going to say, well, you know what? They should have. Why didn't they hire Jason Kidd? I don't know, because they won an NBA championship. Are you supposed to change your head coach after you win an NBA championship? Probably not. Then the following year, you could say, okay, well, after they lost in the first round of the Phoenix Suns, should Vogel, without Anthony Davis, so Vogel's job is in jeopardy after
AD has a bad ankle.
After your 12 games above 500 to end right. the season, whatever it was, right? Like that, I can't remember the record exactly. That's why Jason Kidd is not the head coach of the Lakers.
Well, they had a chance to hire him, and they hired him as an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. And he was part of whoever's coming in to coach. Jason Kidd is your lead assistant.
Yep.
But they obviously did not feel like he was ready to be the head coach of the Lakers at that point. Maybe at that point, because he's done a really good job with this team. And he's getting a lot of credit for the success that this team has.
You know what it could have been? It could have been as simple as this. Could have been as simple as Jason Kidd's going to sit as an assistant coach. If this doesn't work out with Frank Vogel, Jason Kidd's going to be your next
head coach. Why not hire him at that point, though? I'm speculating. If you think he's the replacement, why is he not your guy?
So I really don't know.
Yeah.
But do you remember when Vogel got hired? I mean, even I think in his introductory. The initial press conference that he had. I can't remember if somebody brought it up, but the rumors were already out there. Hey, Vogel isn't too good. You know, Jason Kidd's right there. Why not hire him right out the gate? I'm not sure. But didn't you feel like Vogel was always, hey, if you don't have success, this ain't going to last very long.
The only time it felt like Jason Kidd was not going to be the next coach of the Lakers was when they won the championship. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, now Vogel's got at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, two more, which turns out is what it was. But the timing wasn't.
By the way, most coaches, if you want a freaking NBA championship, you're not concerned of the next 2 years. You're not. Right? Like, think about that for a second. Nick Nurse wins a championship.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Do you think that he's got to worry about his upcoming gig
not in
a couple of years?
Not in Toronto. But I think there are places where that is probably the standard. And not there, not a bunch of them, mm-hmm. but the Lakers are one of them.
But only if it's...
Maybe the only one.
Only if it was, you know, you crashed and burned, right? Like, that's the only... You would have to be 16 games below 500 and not make the play-in tournament. It has to be something like that. It can't just be, well, we lost in the second round and all of a sudden they get rid of Frank. I don't think that would happen.
Do you think this had something to do with it? Because I'm trying to think of the circumstances. Because Pat Riley comes into his own as the coach of the Lakers. And he was looked at, along with Magic and Kareem and Worthy, as a big reason why the Lakers were as successful as they are. Pat Riley's presence was part of the success. You fast forward to the next era of Laker greatness. Shaq and Kobe were together for a while and couldn't
quite get over
the hump. And then you bring in Phil Jackson, and all of a sudden, bang, it happened. So Phil Jackson is the reason you're winning championships. So if Phil Jackson had had a couple of bad years afterwards, I don't think it's get him out of here. He has some equity in this. I don't know if anybody looked at the LeBron-Anthony Davis championship as, oh, Frank Vogel had a lot to do with that. It was LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I'm not trying to throw any shade at Frank Vogel, but he didn't have equity in it the way that those other guys did.
I think
did.
You're right about that. I think you're right about that. And the difference between, you know, Pat Riley and Phil Jackson was multiple championships.
Yeah.
It was you're always in the mix. It was a lot different than that outlier one chip. And then what happens after that? And I think what happens after that tells a bigger story. But, yeah, it is kind of funny. Every time that the Jason Kidd thing comes up, I'm like,
what do you think they're waiting for to hire the next guy? Because the guys that are left, Steve Kerr's not going to get the job. I mean, you look at Jason Kidd's not going to get the job. You look on the other side, Ime Udoka's not going to get the job. Spoelstra's not going to get the job. Maybe there's an assistant on one of those staffs that you're waiting to pull the trigger on? Because otherwise, what are we waiting for?
I don't think you have to wait if it's an assistant. I think... I read something that, you know, that it still could happen. There, I don't think we know 100% yet. Quinn Snyder, if he decides to leave the Utah Jazz, I think they want to wait. Remember initially was Quinn Snyder,
Doc
Rivers, and Nick Nurse.
Okay,
I think those were their top three candidates until they know that all three of those guys out the door, out the table, they can always come back to any of these other guys that they've already interviewed. Where are they going to go? A lot of these guys aren't going to go anywhere.
No, I get that. I understand that.
So that's what I think that's what they're waiting
for. But wouldn't you rather have them in and get started? Let's get started. Draft isn't that far away. Let's get started. Let's get them together with LeBron. Let's get them together with AD. Let's start getting the guys together. Let's get some shots up. Let's get to know each other. Let's develop some culture.
Ideally, yes. Whether it's today or it's in 2 weeks from now, I don't know how much of that's going to change.
Yeah, maybe it's not a huge difference, but if you would have done it 2 weeks ago and you're still waiting 2 weeks from now, that's a month. You know, like it's.
I get it. No, I see what you're saying. If you have nothing to wait for, why are you waiting?
Yeah, and that's it. Like to your point, maybe there's not a huge difference between now and 2 weeks from now, but if you got your guy, what are we waiting for?
But isn't that safe to say they don't have their guy?
There we go.
Right. Like, isn't that safe to say
that? Is that what it is? Are they still sitting around a conference table saying,
okay, if
I like candidate A, you like candidate B? How
hypothetical?
Shouldn't they know by now?
Just a hypothetical. If they had their guy, what would be the reason to wait? Nothing, right?
Right.
So then I don't think they have their guy yet. Or they're still waiting to see.
Does that not give you a little pause?
Or they're still waiting for, is that guy, we don't know 100% yet if that guy will be available or if he won't be.
If there's a guy on a staff that they just can't get to yet, okay. But if they
I don't even think it works like that, because Mike Brown got the job at the Sacramento
Kings. That's what
I
mean. But so, okay, if they don't, why don't they know? Mm-hmm. This is the question. If we don't know why or who, not why, if you don't know who, why not? The Lakers haven't played a game in a month, longer than a month. Got a chance to interview all the guys you like, probably some of the guys you really liked more than once. What are we waiting for? And maybe there's a really good explanation for it that I'm just not seeing, but it's odd.
Jersey F on Twitter, how about a trip to WrestleMania at SoFi?
Have you ever done that?
No. I've been to WrestleMania. I've been to a wrestling event when I was a kid.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was cool. Listen, back in the day, that stuff was awesome. I used to love it. Back in the day, the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Razor Ramon.
Did you see one of those? Like the big guys, like Hulk Hogan and stuff like that?
It wasn't Hogan. This was down at the Sports Arena down in San Diego.
Still there, by the way. Another iconic San Diego.
You thought
landmark.
Qualcomm was bad.
Coronado Bridge. Jack Murphy.
Liberty Station.
Sports Arena. Balboa Park.
La Jolla. Do you remember this?
Oh, what a dump.
Do you remember 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, Luke was the coach of the Lakers. They had a preseason game down there.
Is that where the court kept getting wet? Was that game?
You probably can't play a basketball game.
I was right. Okay.
Wait, the court is wet, and they couldn't stop. I can't remember. Off the top of my head, I think the San Diego goals, so it was like one of those where they're using the for hockey. And the court kept getting – they had to stop the game a number of times to wipe it off. And then at halftime, they decided,
we're done.
Guys, this is not safe. And in my head, I'm like, San Diego, California, everybody.
In the San Diego Sports Arena's defense, they've only had that technology for 75 years. So they are still struggling with it. Probably not their fault. Let's try a quick phone call. Let's go to Long Beach and Patrick. Patrick, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Travis. Hey, Alan. Real quick, I don't know why you guys didn't get to go with the ESPN train to LAFC last night. I feel like Mason got a special tour with a bosses there. I ran into him, and he seemed to be the only one.
We get excluded from a lot of things, Patrick. They didn't let us go to
the
Lombardi
broadcast,
party. I think they're trying to tell us something. Yep. I don't know.
Not trying. They told us.
Number one in our time slot.
I was not happy about that. Real quick, Alan, you're going to know more about this than I do, but if you look at the last, 20 NBA champions, the thing they have in common is defense. Even the Golden State Warriors, people talk about the Splash Brothers, they play amazing team defense. The Bucks, Boston, Miami, the Lakers in the bubble. Before Frank Vogel, we were terrible, atrocious. No matter who coached us, no matter who we had, we couldn't play defense. Look what Frank Vogel did in Indiana before with Roy Hibbert and Paul George, Danny Granger, George Hill. He had guys. People played well under him. We got a horrible roster put together, and he took the fall, and us as fans all know the truth of what happened. It wasn't him. So we're looking at, Quinn Snyder. He ain't doing it in Utah with a good team. We needed a defensive guy again, and it's sad. I don't know what we're supposed to do, and I'm happy for Jason Kidd, but we lost a very good one, and I'm curious to what you guys feel like we're looking at next.
Appreciate you calling. Thanks, Patrick. Do you think, and I agree with on this, you said this point a little bit earlier. Yeah, Frank Vogel doesn't get enough credit. He doesn't. No. There's just no – we don't mention Frank Vogel. When you look back at the championship, you know who the head coach was, but do you give him enough credit? I don't think a lot of people do. I think that's safe to say. Listen, we said this. If you win a championship, and I get your point about, if you do it with the Lakers, it's different than somewhere else.
Sure.
But if you can't survive 2 years after you won a championship, damn, that doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't, but it's a perfect storm of events, mm-hmm. which are A, it's the Lakers, mm-hmm. and B, LeBron's clock is ticking so loudly
how bad your season was.
No question. And that's the third part of it.
Did you lose the room? Are they still listening?
And look, the answer is to that thing you just said. Shortly after Christmas, I think New Year, I think everyone's waiting. Okay, you guys got to get your stuff together. Mm-hmm. You guys got to start playing. And the opposite happened. Mm-hmm. Right?
They're going on that. You kept saying, I don't think he's come back from this road trip.
Right. The opposite happened. They came unglued after the new year, right? They what did they lose? Something like 12 out of 15? Or it was a real. Remember, they were always within a game or two of 500 either way?
They were. Remember, three was the magic number.
And then all of a sudden it was 10, it was 12. It just, the whole thing cratered. That, I think, was the final nail in Frank Vogel's coffin. He asked an interesting question about, hey, what do you guys think is going to happen? I want to turn it around. What do they think is going to happen? Right, the Lakers, because I don't know why it just dawned on me like this, but it did. Why is this not filled? Because to your point, all the people that are available, you figured you've done your due diligence to figure out.
They interviewed a lot of guys.
I like this guy or I don't. Okay, or he's a good fit or he's not. And maybe there's a guy or two that's still, you're still trying to figure out, but it's been a minute. And if your point is, if they identified who they are, they probably could pull the trigger on that guy right now, but they haven't. So why not? Or is there competing voices? Do they not have anybody in mind that guy will do a good enough job for us over the course of the next year, two, three, four, five, whatever it is? That something hasn't happened is unusual.
Remember when you told me this, you said that I think this actually situation was going on with USC. You said that you got a friend who's an AD somewhere else, mm-hmm. and that you always have a list of here are my
job number one.
Here are the five guys I'm going after or the five women I'm going after the moment that job becomes available.
Yep.
And I think for the Lakers, this is the best way I could describe it. They probably got that list, and they're probably sitting back saying, "Wait, look, we got our number two and our number three guy. We just need to make sure that number one is not available." I almost feel like that situation, because there's no other explanation of why you would wait. Well, there is no benefit of waiting. Now they could also, well, we'll do it whenever the hell we want to. You can do that. Maybe there's already stuff internally, but I don't think that's the case. I think they're maybe that number one, they got to make sure is not available.
The dump is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, Slee, I think we've gone over this with you a little bit before. You are kind of a moderate Star Wars person at best, right?
At best.
At best.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so this may not resonate with you, but it will. It does with me, and it does with people that were Star Wars dorks as kids, which I certainly was. The Phantom Menace and the Revenge of the Sith, as it turns out. But the Phantom Menace came out on this day in 1999, which was the first Star Wars movie that came out after the original Star Wars movie.
Yeah, first of the prequels.
First of the prequels. That's a much cleaner way of saying it. Thank you. And the anticipation for that movie was unbelievable. I don't know if you...
I do remember.
They're making another Star Wars yep. movie. They're going to go back. We're going to get like the Darth Vader story, how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. And as somebody that grew up in the 70s and 80s, like, yes, let's go. I can't wait to see this story. And you get little trailers. You're like, wow, it looks really cool. And then you went and saw the movie, and it was terrible. Hmm. Not just, oh, that wasn't quite what I wanted. It was awful. Terrible.
Even to this day. So I watched all of them I watched them in like release order in 2020. I had a bunch of time on my hands. And so
Emily, release order as in the...
I watched the originals.
Got it. Okay.
And then I watched the prequels, and then I watched the newest version.
Got it.
And so everyone's like, you're going to hate the prequels. They suck. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in with open mind. Again, yes. Phantom Menace, not as good. Revenge of the Sith, though,
that one's okay.
Wasn't bad.
That one's okay.
So it's just like, I think that everybody else had hyped up how bad they were to me. They were okay.
Is that part to do with there's the hype? It's been this long. You have all the expectation, or it was just bad?
It wasn't that good.
Yes. Yes. And there was the whole element of this, too, that what made the original ones fun was it looked kind of, this is going to sound ridiculous. It looked kind of real. Right, that the technology that came around, it looked like you could suspend disbelief and pretend that, okay, this is actually happening for an hour and a half. I get that Luke Skywalker's flying a spaceship and blowing up the Death Star. I get it, okay, whatever. Again, you're 10 years old, so take it for what it's worth.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
This next one came out. It looked like somebody got really cool on the computer. Hey, look what I can do.
Mm. You didn't love Jar Jar Binks?
It wasn't just that. That was terrible. It looked like somebody had created a thing on their computer and put some characters that you knew in. It was just dreadful. Dreadful.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if you got all this hype towards something. I know, listen, this is not a good example because we'd be making it sound. You know what we keep mentioning here these last couple of weeks that we've been incredibly disappointed with? Better Call Saul.
I'm going to let you get caught up.
I know
up.
It's not like that.
I'm going to let you get caught up on the one that dropped
on
Monday.
Back. Yeah, one
yeah,
back.
You'll get there. I'm still all in.
We'll watch till the end.
Of course.
I'm in on that.
I love the characters. I need a thing to pull me back. Just kind of pull me back in and get me fully reinvested. I'm going to watch it. I love it. But just saying this next one, Al, let me know when you're done and we can have a conversation. We can go from it.
That bad.
From there. Yeah, I'm just saying it's weird. This is an interesting one. A cyclist was struck in his left eye after opening a giant Prosecco bottle that he'd been presented with after a win. So you win your race, right? They give you the big bottle of Prosecco, and then you open it, and there goes the cork right in your face. And he has an hemorrhage in his anterior chamber and was forced to withdraw from the Giro d'Italiana after being extracted to avoid physical activity.
So he was young, a phenom, won this event. And then the next event he can't even participate in because he popped in his eye.
I mean, not blaming anybody.
Yeah, but how are you
there
popping
you go.
It?
There you go. Right? That isn't
22.
Isn't this champagne 101? Even if I asked a 7-year-old.
Okay, but 22, that's like cutting. Let's say you're cutting vegetables. You know what I mean?
You don't cut a bagel holding it in your hand like this, right?
Coming towards you.
Right. There. If you said to a 7-year-old, hey, 7-year-old, what does a bottle of champagne do? They'd go, right? Mm-hmm. That everybody knows that the cork pops out and it sprays, right? That's what champagne does. Cork comes out pretty fast. Point that thing away from your
face. That's all you got to do. Just point away. My man.
Doesn't seem like that's too much to ask.
That's kind of a brutal injury.
Yeah, well, can you imagine? Have you ever almost buzzed someone else's tower
with that cork? Also, probably shook it up beforehand because he was like celebrating like they do in F1.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but those guys know you point it out towards the crowd. The cork kind of comes out and does the thing. Emily, I'm doing this one for you. I don't quite know the impact of this. Maybe it's a big deal for people of your generation. Glee came out on this day in 2009. I know you're a Gleek.
A Gleek. Yep.
Love it.
I was obsessed.
Love it.
It was my everything when I was younger. And
because you liked the music, the dancing,
Music. I liked that it was weirdos. And I liked good. I thought it was good acting when I was, 10 years old when I was watching it.
Even better now. Watch it again.
No, but Jane Lynch, though, is actually funny. So I think the first two seasons are kind of actually funny. After that, terrible.
Did
they
your kids watch it at all?
They're too young. My oldest one would have been 8 when that came out. So I
was going to say, did it cross the household? While
not really. Maybe my daughter might have caught it for a minute, but it's the Rogers household is not a theater musical household. That's not really.
See, I was
how
a musical theater person. I was that total kid. I was a horse girl, musical theater girl, and I like sports. I was a weirdo.
You've got a much broader rainbow than we have. We have Dodger games on, and occasionally we'll put the Angels on. That's kind of
the
spectrum that we'll be. And in football,
our guys
season,
gonna get crazy tonight.
Football season, we'll watch the Pac-12 and the Rams. Maybe the Chargers if the Rams are playing on a Monday night.
That's it.
Right.
That's all you need.
Hey, listen, we're gonna mix it up. We're gonna do turkey burgers instead of hamburgers. It's kind of we've got.
I hate you, Dad.
Michael goes. We had turkey burgers. He goes. What's wrong with this thing? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, this doesn't taste the same. I'm like, because it's not the same thing. What do you mean? He's super self-aware. He's always paying attention. I don't understand the advantage of this. There's an ambidextrous quarterback that apparently is a very good high school football player. I get the advantage of an ambidextrous pitcher. I understand that. I understand the advantage of being a switch hitter. But who cares if you're Steve Young or Joe Montana, right? You're not throwing, hey, I'm going to throw to this guy left-handed and this guy right-handed. What difference does it make?
Whenever the
rolling
ball comes
to your left,
maybe if I'm rolling to my right, throw with my right, roll to my left, throw to my left. But I mean, Matthew Stafford throws with one hand, seems to do okay going both ways.
There's guys that flick the ball. Patrick Mahomes throws a couple no lookers.
Yeah,
it's interesting because I haven't seen it. But is it that beneficial? Probably not going to be doing it in college.
Don't quite get it. You here for the Netflix Tom Brady roast that apparently they're putting together?
You know this. You know this goes back to. Remember, yesterday I was talking about this. You were talking about the Baltimore Ravens, the 30 for 30. I need people to tell me, and I need people to hype it up. Hey, this is really good. It's freaking hilarious. It's funny. You got to go watch it. Then I'd go in.
Roasts are either great or unwatchable.
Yeah.
There's no middle. Like that was
okay.
That's
true. Yeah.
They're either that's the funniest darn thing I've ever seen, or I'm 5 minutes in and you're down.
I feel like
road.
He's gonna be terrible. I don't like this Tom Brady with personality thing. Get out of here. Just be the robot again. That's what I want.
He's gonna put some time in. He's not gonna go into it at half speed. He's probably got a team of writers working on some material for him.
No question.
He'll be pretty good. You know what it's time to do, Slee?
Yes.
It's time to do Super Crosstalk.
KSPN AM 710 Los Angeles.
KRDC AM 1110 Pasadena, Los Angeles.
K256 CX 99.1 FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
It's the greatest segment in LA sports radio history.
Oh my God.
When the shows come together for magic on the radio.
It will only grow stronger. Super Crosstalk.
Are we ready for Mason and Ireland to join Travis and Slee?
Super Crosstalk begin.
It's time for Super Crosstalk.
All right. Ireland and Momo joining us for Super Crosstalk today. How you guys feeling?
Pretty good, Trav. It's weird that we're not there. This is the first time we've done this,
yep,
and that I haven't been next to you guys. The reason I'm home today is my son had his wisdom teeth pulled today. Have you guys all had that done?
I have, yes.
I only heard Taylor.
I have not, John.
Have you done it, John?
I did, but I don't remember it being this brutal.
Oh, is he banged up? Is he?
He looks like he went three rounds with Mike Tyson. I'll send you guys a picture that kind of summarizes all this. But it is so I'm on nurse duty for a while. My wife's at a tennis tournament, but. So, I mean, the fact that I'm in charge is just ridiculous.
I'm a little worried about your son, that you're the one responsible for this moving forward.
Put your chin back.
When does tennis end, and when is she coming home?
She's coming back Saturday. This is not going to go well. But hopefully I can handle any emergency that comes up.
So when he came out of the oral surgeon and had to, was he all loopy and out of it?
Well, he is now. I mean, in the middle of this show, it could go anywhere. We could have a guy speaking in tongues by the end of this thing.
Well,
I don't know. I just feel so bad for him, but he's hanging in there.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great day or two.
But he was asking me how long before I can eat real food.
Day or two,
and that's what I thought too. But these guys are saying like a week. And I'm like, really?
No,
a week.
I was back on the horse in a day or so. It's an important part of my life.
I just sent
John.
You guys the photographic evidence, and you could see this does not bode well.
I'm going to check it out
for me. Hey, couple of things I wanted to touch on. Number one, Emily, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, loved Glee. I was totally into it when it was on. Couldn't get it. And I think Sue Sylvester, which was the character that Jane Lynch played, was one of the great TV characters of all time. She was basically a smart-ass teacher that didn't care what you said. She was going to make fun of you no matter what, which was how I had a lot of teachers in my day. But I thought the whole idea, it was created by Ryan Murphy, who did The People versus O.J.
American
and all that
Horror
other
Story
stuff.
Too.
Yeah,
it's funny
yeah.
how what his whole like filmography is. He goes all the way from Glee to American Horror Story. It's all over the place.
He did a show. I think he was responsible for this show, Nip Tuck. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, he did.
It was fantastic.
Nip-Tuck.
Unbelievable show. That was creepy and weird and compelling. I like that show a lot. That was.
But go watch Glee.
So, John, I just looked at the picture of your son.
Yeah.
You know,
this is not going to go well, is
so,
it?
So, no, you're in for a long
looks
couple
like he
of
has
days.
The wrestling. You know, those guys.
He's got wrestling headgear on.
Exactly.
So
waterfall headgear.
It's funny that you said that. You know what it looks like to me? Remember, like, when we were a kid, the Bugs Bunny cartoons, when somebody get a toothache and they tie the towel around their head?
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's got one of those things going.
That poor guy.
The little knot at the top.
I wish I could do more, but it's going to be an interesting 3 hours. It's going to be an interesting 3 days. Let me put it that way.